Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You can find these words recorded in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 18 at verse 8. When Jesus speaks about faith, he's not talking about the objective faith, the faith that Jude says we're to earnestly contend for, or what Peter says, the word of God which lives and abides forever. No, he's talking about the faith of this importunate woman that we find in Luke in chapter 18. Remember, the chapter and verse divisions were not in original manuscripts, but this chapter begins with Jesus teaching a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint or lose heart. And so he talks about this woman that goes before this judge. He's not a righteous judge, but he says, unless she wears me out, I will answer her. Jesus draws the point of the lesson. He says, shall not God answer his own who cry out to him day and night? Yes, he will answer them speedily. And then the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Brethren, that's the question that we are going to have to answer. And that's what I want us to answer as we talk about faith, as we begin our series of lessons, and they're tied to your theme for this year, and that is to make me a servant. What I'd like to do, first of all, is I want to pause, and I want to acknowledge my gratitude to Almighty God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so I thank God, the Almighty God, the Creator, Jehovah, Yahweh, the one who created this world and created us, the one who has redeemed us by the blood of his Son, the one who continues to provide for us because in him we live and move and have our very being. I'm grateful to God for his love and his mercy and his grace. I'm grateful to God for sending Jesus to be the Savior of the world. I'm grateful for Jesus and for his life, his willingness to come, for the redemption that is in him, the forgiveness of sins through his blood, according to the riches of God's grace. I'm grateful for his offering and his sacrifice at Calvary. And I'm grateful that God raised him from the dead and gave us the promise and the hope of everlasting life. And I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit, for the earnest of the inheritance that God has promised us, for the revelation of truth. I'm grateful for the fruit of the Spirit that assures us that we are on the right track. I'm grateful for the avenue of prayer, that God hears and answers our prayers. And I'm grateful for this wonderful fellowship that God has put us in. And I'm grateful for your kind and warm invitation for me to come with my lovely bride, Bessie, to worship and work with you in this special effort. And I must say, as I begin, that you are one good-looking group of God's people. And I and Bessie am glad to be with you. In this brief time that we have to spend together, as we talk about faith, I want to begin in a very fundamental way. I want us to understand from your theme, that is, make me a servant, that God expects certain things of us. If you draw back from Jeremiah chapter 18, the potter, of course, in the clay. God wants to make us to be a certain kind of people. And what we need to understand is we need to understand God and his nature. That God is holy. And if we expect a relationship with God, we must commit ourselves to holiness as a way of life. What God really has designed for us is, according to Romans 8:29, is that we are conformed to the image of his Son. I take that to mean that Jesus is indeed the perfect example for us. And he teaches us. And I think inherent in this question, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Faith is not some abstract term. I mean, if we define faith, this is what we will find. Confidence in someone or something. Now, atheists claim that they don't believe in God, but everybody believes in something. So faith is real. faith has to do with hope and to expect something with confidence. It means to believe. It means confidence, which leads to obedience. It means trust, which means to take refuge in or leaning upon. I'd like to illustrate that by going to two passages in the Bible. And I want you to notice how faith is linked together with hope. From a definition, we find in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. So I take that to mean that there are things that we know that are real. We can't see with our physical eyes, but we know that they are real. So I'm turning in my Bible to the book of Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8, this great chapter. The Apostle Paul is talking about the inheritance that we have as God's children. Some of the difficulties that we face in this life. And if we have the right kind of faith, we can endure those. That's why we begin in a very fundamental way. That's why faith is so important. Because when the Son of Man comes, he's going to find faith, but it depends upon what kind of faith we have. In Romans 8:24, the Bible says, for we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, he makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Can I ask you something, folks? Have you ever been there? I mean, you face something in your life that is so difficult, and you had nowhere else to go. But because of what we know, and because of who we know, we turn to God in faith. And sometimes we can't even utter the words, but we know that our words are being heard. And not only that, we know that our prayers are going to be answered. Because the Bible tells me in 1 Peter 3:12 that the eyes of the Lord over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. That's the power of prayer. Another passage. I want you to look in your Bibles in the book of 1 Peter, and this was written in the time of persecution. In the book of 1 Peter, and Peter's talking about these Christians who were going through a fiery trial. He reminds them also of their inheritance in verse 4. He says, you have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Can I say this? Brethren, don't ever forget what God has promised us. What Peter will say in his second epistle, chapter 1, he says, chapter 1, verse 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, according as his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, it comes through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby given us great and exceeding precious promises, that by these we become partakers of the divine nature, and we can escape the corruptions that's in this world through lust. I'm trying to emphasize the fact that God wants to make us. Difficult times can preserve us. If we will keep certain things in mind, we've got an inheritance. And I want to point out, as we'll emphasize later on tonight, or this afternoon rather, when we talk about faithfulness. But I'm talking about faith right now and how important faith is. What I'm saying, brethren, all of us who have obeyed the gospel, and even if you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, I'm telling you that God has something for every last one of us. He says, you are kept by the power of God, listen, through faith, for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, who has been not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I want. Don't you see there is a sense in which we could be saved now? There's a sense in which we're going to be saved eternally. And that debunks the false doctrine of once saved, always saved in Calvinism. You see? You see how important faith is? Now, let me tell you something, folks. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. That's not only a definition of faith, but that's also the characteristics of faith. Two words I want to highlight. Number one, this word substance, it comes from a word that means a basis of foundation. There is something that is the basis of the foundation of what we believe. Let me put it to you like this. A lot of times young folks will ask their mamas, their daddies, or they ask their grandparents, Mama, what is dad? What is God like? Well, the base of what we believe, of course, is what we know. There is evidence. And evidence is something that furnishes proof. So, in answering the question, what is God like? Well, Psalm 19:1 says, the heaven declare the glory of God, the firm assured forth his handiwork. Day unto day are the speech, and night unto night there is no language where their voice is not heard. So in other words, in nature, you know what we can see? We can see the power and the wisdom of God. Because you know what nature tells us? That there is an almighty, all-powerful, intelligent being that brought all these things into existence. And day unto day, you can see the wisdom of God all about us. But you open up this book, and that's when we learn by inspiration the love of God, the mercy of God, the patience of God, the long-suffering of God, and what God's purpose is for us. Paul likens it to this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for his people. But God has revealed it. How? Through his Spirit. So when we look in the book, this faith, the objective faith, it produces faith in us. Why? Because Romans 10:17 says, what? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so it produces faith within us. A lot of people don't understand faith, and there are different kinds of faith or different degrees of faith. For instance, from the Sermon on the Mount, remember Jesus says three times, don't worry, take no thought. Don't be anxious about food. Don't worry about clothing. Don't worry about your life. Why do you worry, oh ye of little faith? You know what a little faith is? A little faith is a kind of faith that doubts God. A little faith is a kind of faith that doesn't trust God. And we have every reason to believe God, don't we? He takes care of what? The birds and the flowers. Will he not take care of you, oh, ye little faith? We sang the song, when the storm passes by, and I couldn't help but think about how Satan throws so many roadblocks. And you know what? Worry and anxiety is one of the things he puts in our ways. That's how the first sin came into existence. Matter of fact, he told the first lie. He said, you're not going to die. Ain't no one Satan wants us to believe when the storms come that God's not going to protect us. He wants to close our eyes to all the good about us, to all the good that God is, that God is love, that God is light, and that he's provided everything for us. And we can benefit by the storm. And so what I'm saying, folks, is we don't want to have this kind of faith. We don't want to have a little faith. We don't want to doubt God. We want to trust God all the time. Why? To the believing of the soul. Second of all, the Bible talks about the kind of faith that's weak. Romans 14:1, Romans 15:1. You that are strong in the faith ought to bear with the infirmities or the scruples of those who are weak. You know who those who are weak? Those who are weak in the faith are those who, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2, they don't take the sincere milk of the word so they can grow thereby. The ones who are weak in faith are ones who are not strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You see, they don't know the word of God. You see, they're not fortified with the word of God. Remember when Satan came and tempted Jesus? Remember how he responded? It is written, it is written. I'm telling you, folks, the word of God is that which is going to strengthen us. So when we face trials and temptations in life, We remember what God said. What did James say, practically speaking? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I'm going to cover that a little bit later, but James said there's some things we know. What I'm saying, folks, in order for you to have a strong faith, you know what you're going to need to do? You're going to need to be a daily Bible reader. You're going to need to eat spiritually. Jesus even promised, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You need to take advantage of the opportunities afforded by the local congregation. You need to do personal Bible studies on your own. The distinctive nature of the Lord's church is teaching. You need to teach in your home and families. You need to teach your neighbors. We need to spend time in this book. The people of God used to be known as people of the book. And I tell you what, folks, we need to have people of the book like that today. The Bible talks about those who are dead in faith. And I don't think James could have been any plainer. And talking about a person who claimed to have faith. And folks are saying that all you need to do is believe. Just have faith. Just ask Jesus Christ into your heart and you'll be saved. Well, that's another lie that Satan has told. And James said that's not true. He uses the illustration of a dead body. In James 2:26, he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is dead also. Death, by definition, simply means a separation, physical separation. The body goes to the dust. The spirit returns to God who gave it. Spiritual separation, Isaiah 59:1-2. The Lord's hand is not slack and he cannot save, nor is ear heavy that cannot hear, but your sins and iniquities have separated you between you and your God. He's hid his faith that he will not hear. If we claim to have faith in God and we don't obey God or we don't walk by faith, folks, I'm telling you, our faith is dead. What we believe needs to be accompanied with obedience. Because if we claim to have faith, it's not the kind of faith that God wants us to have. And finally, the Bible talks about the kind of faith that's great. I want you to read this together with me. The book of Matthew in chapter 8, I'm sure you've read this account over and over before. Maybe you just passed by it. But I want you to know how it applies to us, because this is what God wants us to have. And this is why we begin in a very fundamental way. Make me a servant, Lord. Make me into what you want me to be. We obviously need to be informed first before we can be transformed. And I think that's what God is informing us. Look at what the text says in the book of Matthew 8. Look at verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Do you get the implication there? You don't even have to be there. Do you get that? For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Oh, I would to God that we would understand what authority is. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Do you know what a great faith is? When Jesus says go, we go. When Jesus says come, we come. When Jesus says do this, we do whatever he says. You know why? Because we recognize the authority of Jesus Christ in everything we believe and practice. That's a great faith. So the question is, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith? Yes, he will. But the question is, what kind of faith? And only you and I can answer that question. And so, faith. Make me a servant, Lord. Help me to have this great faith that recognizes your authority. Because you know what's best. You are the perfect example. You tell me how to live. You tell me what to believe. You tell me what to do. because I want what you have for me in my life, in my home, in my family, in my local congregation where I worship, and all the people that I know and the people that I can influence. I want to have this kind of faith so people can see it in me. And they can know who I believe in. And they can know who I trust in. And they can know what my life is all about. That's the kind of faith I want. And I believe that's the kind of faith that the Lord is going to be looking for when he comes again. And he is coming again. Thank you for your attention.